gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm fine.
Oh, God.
I'm fine. 6 minutes after the
hour.
Did
Mama fall in the gutter again?
Right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. No, I never get out of the gutter.
Okay.
How can you fall into something you're already in? Good morning, everybody. Comedian Dean Obadala joins us today, and sexy liberal Carlos Alzraqui in hour number three for Coffee with Carlos. As he pointed out last week, it is a extremely racist jingle, and only old friends can get away with things
like that.
We are clearly pandering to the Latino vote.
Juan Valdez.
Hola, Carlos.
Republicano.
And he has the distinction of being the only guest that can actually walk to the studio. He lives.
Yep. He lives like right there.
He lives there.
Him and Adam Schiff.
I almost hit him a couple of times leaving the show.
That's because you barrel out of here at 40 miles an hour.
Right? I got spinning class. Got stuff to do. All right. So lots to talk about today. You, as usual, are wrong.
What did I do?
Let's start with that.
What did I do?
You are the only human in the world that thinks this Cheney family fight is not real. It is real. It's because it is. You can. It is emotional and it is primal and it is real.
No, it's not.
You are incorrect.
They are beyond cold and calculating.
I agree.
Right.
But
I love the fact that she's
already losing.
It's simulated
emotion.
She's
already behind like 50 points.
Right. And so they ginned up this controversy in order to get her in the news
but
again.
But she's completely out of step with the times.
She is.
And with history. And that, as I guess Mary said, her sister. It's just that what tiny group of people is she still pandering to? I mean,
she's pandering to the ultra base of Wyoming.
Mean people?
Yes.
That are mean to their family?
Yes. Well, you know, let's not forget, Wyoming is a state where Matthew Shepard was killed.
Well, that was quite a while ago. You know,
but
our
still,
friend,
it's still there.
Julie in Seattle is from Wyoming. She writes, Mama, I was spawned in Wyoming from two Wyoming-born parents. In other words, I'm more Wyomingite than Dick's demon seed. She is not going to win. The Wyoming popular sentiment may still be, I don't agree with this gays getting hitched business. But an a**hole who would disrespect her own sister to steal a Senate seat from one of her dad's former friends who lied on her fishing license application and has only seen Wyoming from the slopes at Teton heretofore is just the kind of faux cowboy they detest most in those parts. Not nice, not honorable, and a big nasty phony, not the cowboy way.
Absolutely.
Where have all the cowgirls gone, Chris? ones that are going to win Senate seats in Wyoming, I tell you that, mister.
This was a Hail Mary pass by the entire Cheney family, and it's falling incredibly short.
I disagree. I think I've said this before, that Liz, she's nasty. She's always been nasty.
She is.
She's just...
Mary hasn't been the best friend to the gay community either.
I did not say she has. And by the way, Dick Cheney, he was happy to, you know, gay bash to win an election.
She was, yes. That entire family is willing to do anything in order to win.
Yeah. I mean,
including conspire.
I do not think this is...
Oh, so you're a conspiracy theorist now.
Yes, I am.
You know the only place people are really authentic, Chris? Facebook. And Mary's wife was pretty heated.
You think that Facebook is the only place where people are off?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what life has come to, mister.
There is so much authenticity on Facebook.
Listen, it is very... I mean,
God.
I have great pieces. Frank Bruni, our good friend. Bush Bruni, Cheney Family Values. Daily Beast, the Cheney Compassion
They're falling
track.
For it.
Huffington Post, by the way, I love this. Mary Cheney is assailed for not understanding how her sister's brand of cynical politics works. Somebody on the right actually accused her of not being a loyal family member. Let your sister gay bash you until she wins the election, for God's sakes. What kind of sister are you? Anyway, fine American Frank Bruni says, if Liz Cheney, who's bid for the Senate, has always had a stench of extreme opportunism, wants to discuss traditions and values, I'm all for it. Let's start here. Isn't there a tradition of close-knit family members taking care not to wound one another? Is there not value in that? Thank you, Frank Bruni. Is any political office worth that? Would victory redeem the public message that Liz just sent to her nieces and nephew? I'm imagining the awkwardness the next time she goes to hug or kiss them, and I'm assuming she's a hugger or kisser, which may be leap.
Oh, God, no, she's not, no.
If there's,
you can't kiss
if
a cactus.
If there's not a knot in her
well,
stomach,
you could, once.
Then there's nothing at all in her heart. Conflicting views on abortion or the death penalty don't challenge the very structure and foundation of a loved one's home. Questioning the validity of a marriage does. That's what I'm telling you. This is real, and you are wrong again. Is she even being genuine in her opposition? In a 2009 interview on MSNBC, she said freedom means freedom for everybody about gay marriage. On Monday, I talked with three people who worked with her in the Bush administration, and all were very surprised by her current stance. They'd had the strong impression that she favored same-sex marriage. This feels to me like a political maneuver tailored to a conservative electorate, and an unnecessary maneuver at that, with the risk of making her seem inauthentic and uncharitable.
The Cheney's inauthentic? Hello, he lied.
And anyway, then he talks about the statement that Dick and Lynn released. They said that Liz had shown, everybody's talking about this, had shown Mary compassion. This echoed a statement of Liz's own, in which she noted she's always tried to be compassionate toward Mary and her family. What a curious vocabulary. It's as if they're all talking about some charity case.
Right.
I hope the Cheneys find their way out of this. It's an ugly spot that Liz and all her compassion has put them in. Thank you, Frank Rudy. I know, but so condescending.
It is. I hate that word.
Oh, I'm so compassionate toward you. Yeah, somebody else was writing. That means, like, I think somebody actually, oh, Cambridge Dictionary Online defines compassion as sympathy and sadness for other people's suffering or bad luck.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's in German, it's Mitleid. It's suffering with someone.
Suffering with Schadenfreude.
No. It's the opposite of Schadenfreude.
So sorry about your bad homo luck. We're going to need you to go on down to gay storage room B.
We're going
to
need to go ahead and move you downstairs into storage B.
No,
some new people coming in, and we need all the space we can get.
Don't you start phoning to the phones.
Hey!
Since when do you want me to take calls this early? Only when they agree with you.
Absolutely. Take some calls, Stephanie. 1-800-STEP-1-2.
You are not the boss of me. Hello, Joe in New Orleans. Listen, if you know history is any precedent, you are going to be on wrong just like Chris. Go ahead. Hello, Joe.
I think the whole Cheney feud is staged because, one, are they capable of doing such a thing?
Yep.
Yes, we know they are.
Yeah.
And, two, when has Mary Cheney ever spoken out for gay rights? Even her own, never.
Right, she's never been this strident for her own gay rights. She's always pleaded for privacy for her family.
Regardless of what it is, it's such a horrible political move. If it is a cynical stage thing, it's coming off really badly.
It is.
Don't you think it's backfiring big time?
It absolutely is.
I mean, look, Wyoming is still part of America, and there is majority support for marriage equality. So she's on the wrong side of everything. It's like,
Wyoming is still a ruby red state.
Well. Okay, but she's...
As in ruby slippers?
Yeah. Well, no.
Really? Friend of Dorothy? Lori in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Lori.
Hello. Good morning, Mama. I love you. I love you forever.
Right.
But I'm with Chris on this one.
Thank
this
you, Lori.
Totally fake. Totally fake. They are master manipulators.
Yeah, it's as fake as a single
totally
bullet theory.
Oh, Jim's going to relate everything to JFK
totally
this week.
Fake. But I still love you.
I love you, too. All right, you know what? I need my recorded yes man.
Yes, Stephanie.
Right?
Mama's right.
Yes.
Right.
Thank
again.
You.
As
you,
usual.
Do you have this at a continuous loop at home?
You're absolutely right.
Thank you.
You're right.
Seriously,
they're wrong.
Sinatra or that. 24/7.
Listen, I've been in a little bit of a white-knuckle panic lately because my Sirius XM for some of my Seriously Sinatra.
Right.
That is stuck on my... stereo. I'm having trouble with the reception thing.
Oh,
right.
The antenna.
Right.
Yes.
You need to come.
Oh, I know
it.
Nothing about that. I really don't.
It's going in and out. You're in the middle of a great Billie Holiday song, and I'm like.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, I think.
Yeah, I don't use the antenna at home. I go through the app, the Sirius XM app.
That's beyond my comprehension. You know what? I bet you somebody's listening at Sirius XM right now. Could you guys send somebody, please?
Oh, God. Really?
We're on Fabulous Progress 127.
Progress 127.
Right.
And Progress Plus right after our live show.
Right. Exactly. So I'm sure they're based in New York, but come on. Somebody come out.
They have an office here.
App antenna thing.
I think you probably
my antenna is having a problem.
I think you probably just need to move it closer to the window.
I'm doing that. Don't think I don't know how to. It's like rabbit ears. I'm fussing with it still.
Oh, you're.
See, I'm old enough to have rabbit ears on the television.
Yes.
On my black and white TV.
Right.
You need to come do your usual percussive maintenance.
It's like the days of 1940s radio, where suddenly the signal was...
Suddenly the what?
We are at war.
What?
What? What happened? What?
Or our famous example, when the pilot is telling you what you need to do to, you know, remain alive, and suddenly the cuts out on the pilot's microphone.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've reached our cruising altitude of 36,000 feet. If you notice one of the wings falling off, please let me know.
What?
What?
Oh, boy. This is going to be bad.
We're going down.
We're going down.
Oh, I didn't have the microphone on, did I?
Did I have the microphone?
Oh, crap.
Oh, boy.
All right. There the phones go. You know why? I think you're just pretending to disagree with me.
No.
Get the phones going.
No. It's something
Listen,
about this whole feud just rings completely false with me.
The Cheneys do something that rings false?
You can't trick this old radio war horse. I'm wise to your tricks, mister. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The more you hear it, the funnier it gets.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Liz Cheney song.
That's right.
Okay. 21 minutes after the hour. You can always warm your way back into the cockles of my heart.
Would you?
With a good... Get away from me. Pump song. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Daily Beast, Peter Barnhart, our good friend. The Cheney compassion trap. A lot of people focusing on that, just how... You know, that's almost like the worst part of it. Mary Cheney's straight family members keep talking about compassion, a word that sounds nice, but is typically used by the right to convey pity for the morally diseased. No wonder Mary Cheney is pissed. I mentioned that they quoted the Cambridge Dictionary as saying it's sympathy or sadness for other people's suffering or bad luck.
Mitleid.
Tony Perkins, Jim.
No, mother, blood, no!
Not that
guy. You're a naughty little boy!
Family research.
How are you doing with those sluts?
2010, Penn Day Washington Post column entitled, Christian Compassion Requires the Truth About the Harms of Homosexuality, in which he urged Christians to treat gays and lesbians in the same merciful way that Jesus treated adulterers. Isn't that magic?
And lepers.
Right, and lepers.
Yeah.
Yes.
And leopards.
Right. Sure, because there were so many leopards in the Holy Land.
There's a pretty straight line there. People's body parts falling off, people using their body parts incorrectly.
I see.
In big gay ways.
Right.
Oh,
it's exactly
saying,
the same.
Right?
Yes.
The sanctimony is nauseating. Once upon a time, whites used to talk this way about blacks, and he made some really interesting points there. Martin Luther King, in April, a letter from the Birmingham jail, was obviously very famous. He said, shallow understanding from people of goodwill is more frustrating than absolute misunderstanding from people of ill will. What King was saying to those clergy and Mary is saying to her family is that you cannot lovingly or respectfully or compassionately tell one group of Americans they must accept legal inferiority just because of who they are. Let's all extend the straight Cheneys our compassion until they understand. Oh, I'm not a good enough person to do that. But y'all go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay. Stacy in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Stacy.
Hi, Stacy.
Oh, well. You too.
I was calling about the Cheney function.
Okay.
Oh, sorry about that.
That's okay.
To me, I think it's self-preservation for black.
Listen,
for
why do you keep doing that? Hello?
It's my dumb smartphone.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right.
But I think it's self-preservation. If you have a father who shot his best friend in the face hunting, kept a man-sized safe in his office, wouldn't you want to not stir the waters? I think this is totally fabricated and self-preservation on Mary's part.
Huh. On Mary's part.
On Mary's part. Yeah. She doesn't want to get shot in the face.
Oh, I see. Yeah, somebody already did the cartoon where they're all sitting at the Thanksgiving table with birdshot in their face and smoking rifles.
Uh-huh.
I'm just saying most people recognize a family feud. And you know who was on TV? Nicole Wallace, remember?
Richard Dawson?
They're not a normal family.
Right, but she seemed very uncomfortable when she was talking about it. She said this has been a long simmering feud in this family, and she seemed very uncomfortable talking about it. And so I just did. Feels real to me.
Yeah.
Andrew in Wyoming, of all places. Hello, Andrew.
Hello, first time caller, a long time listener, and I'd just like to say, in Wyoming, if you shoot your hunting buddy, like Janie did,
right,
you better be drunk, because otherwise there's no excuse.
And well, there's normally not much excuse for not talking to the police till the next day. Right, unless you need to, what's the expression, sleep it off? Not that I would know anything about that, I'm just saying. Zach in Michigan on my side. Hi, Zach.
Yeah, long time, first time. Go easy on me, mama.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I was calling about the whole Dick Cheney thing, and although I wouldn't put it past the Cheney family ever, I really don't think that this is fake. And here's my reason why. If the whole thing was basically, you know, planned to make her, you know, her conservative credentials look a lot better, then I would imagine that Mary Cheney's and her wife's response would just be no response, or I simply disagree. If it was to make her look politically better, then why would she take to social media and basically call her a hypocrite and a carpetbagger? How does that help her politically? That's why I don't think this is fair.
No, exactly, Zach. That carpetbagger thing, that was like someone that's really deeply wounded and was kind of like, how would you like it if you just happened to traipse from state to state and suddenly your marriage isn't valid? I mean, Zach, what I think is, I think what Liz did was staged and cynical. I don't think Mary and Heather's reaction was staged. That feels real to me.
Exactly. That's my point, exactly. Well, big fan of the show. Keep it up, all right?
Thank you, honey. All right.
And I think 9/11 was staged, but, you know, it's a whole different topic.
All right.
Oh, boy.
Hey, at least he got off the JFK topic for a moment. All right, Aldis, and by the way, do you want to know if that's what Jim talks about during the commercial breaks?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
This week, yeah.
Right. Aldis and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Aldis.
Hey, so come on. I mean, the Cheneys are obviously just a genuine American family, and the rest of us are just potential organ donors.
Right, exactly.
whether we're still alive or not.
Uh-huh. I need your liver. But then
fine, I'd be happy to leave that to you. Wow! Yeah, just saying.
They wouldn't want my liver.
I bet you a bunch of people woken up in a bathtub full of ice. Missing an organ.
They're not a typical American family. They are an American political family who will do anything to
Didn't
win.
Didn't I used to have two lungs?
Why
not? Ow.
I'm just saying, there may be a bunch of people that sound like Muttley. Cheney's don't have lungs. Oh, boy. Yeah, that's, well, the interview Dick Cheney just did about his heart donor. He's like,
whatever. So, I never think of it.
Screw him.
Screw him.
Sucks to be him.
I got mine.
I don't think of it as his old heart. I think of it as mine, my new heart. HuffPost writing.
I cut off both of his legs just for fun.
I just love this. So Huffington Post saying, Senator Mike Enzi is sitting back and chilling out with a gigantic lead in the polls while his opponent Liz Cheney endures the self-inflicted melodrama, having publicly rebuked her sister Mary's same-sex marriage. Mary, for her part, is fired back because she's married. And that's what one does in a marriage when someone insults it. At the Daily Caller, Matt Lewis, how about this? He writes, let's begin with loyalty to one's blood relatives and the fact that Mary Cheney apparently has none.
Huh?
What now? Oh, it's Mary Cheney. He writes, Liz is also attempting to actually win a U.S. Senate seat in Wyoming.
Good luck with that.
This is a short-term inconvenience. She needs you now. And you, Mary, are messing that up. You big gay. Yeah, Liz Cheney is down something like 50 points to Enzi, and this is Mary's fault for getting married that one time, remember? Yeah, remember that time you got married and ruined my Senate seat? You big Liz. family fun. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You got her to start drinking. That's always a good first step.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Joe in California. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Steph, first time, long time. And I apologize for shifting gears on the Cheney thing, but I want to go back the last couple of days on the Zimmerman.
Yes, on the Zimmerman. Awesome.
Has anybody called out Sean Hannity and all his donations and the tens of thousands of dollars they raised for this bump?
Huh. I'm guessing that this was not a big headline news story on Hannity's show last night, was it?
I'm one that switches to I'm always on MSNBC, but I'll switch to Fox just to see what the fool is talking about.
Right, just for and
now
giggles.
One has he been on there to even address it.
Yeah, interesting. Don't you, by the way, don't you love Jim? Did you see George Zimmerman? First of all, he barricades himself inside the girlfriend's house. And then after she calls the cops and the cops are there, he calls 911.
Yeah.
Just to tell his side of the story or whatever. The operator's like, are the police there? Like, yeah, they seem pretty mad. They're banging on the doors and windows. Okay, well, why don't you go? Anyway, we have it. Yeah.
The officers are upset?
Yeah, they're banging on the door and the window.
You're not going to go speak with them?
I don't have anything to say.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what 911 is for, is to tell your side of a domestic dispute to the 911 operator, because you know it'll get played on TV. It's like, oh, I see. Bitch is crazy. Okay. Thanks for calling.
Boy.
Whatever.
A doofus. Good God. Okay. Hey, looky, it's time for our pal.
Yay! Here he comes. Yes, it's Dina Bartala. Yes, it's Dina Bartala. Dina Bartala.
Good morning, Dean.
Good morning. How are you, Stephanie?
I'm good. Do you enjoy your new jingle?
You did? I have my own jingle? You guys sound like you're having fun. I mean, how come the question no one is asking about Zimmerman is this? How did he get a girlfriend? I have friends who are single.
And she's cute.
They can't. You have to shoot someone to get a girlfriend in today's society. This is how bad we've become.
Yeah. And you she's know, cute, so, too. That was my... That was, that's what I thought the headline news was. I'm like, someone else decided to him?
You know,
it's
like, well, you know what? You know, he's a keeper. You know, he'll protect the neighborhood, I guess. I don't know what you're thinking. You know, he's a bad boy. Maybe it's the whole bad boy thing. It's ridiculous. I can't believe... I have friends who are single, seriously, all posting, how did he get a girlfriend? Like, how come I don't get that girlfriend?
That is the story. That is a cute blonde.
This girl's like danger.
That's right. He's James Bond of Florida. So.
Yes. Danger as in improperly trained doofus with an anger management problem.
Oh, he's
problem.
A mess. Yep.
All right. Dean, you wrote a great piece about Chris Christie's immigration catch-22. Here we go. We're going to see how Romney-esque he is, right? You say you're asking, will he sign a new proposed law which will hurt him with conservatives in the Republican presidential primaries, but will help him with Latino voters in the general election, right? It's a bill providing in-state tuition benefits to children of undocumented immigrants. So what do you think? I mean,
this is a big one. I wrote it for the Daily Beast, and this is like Sophie's Choice, except without Meryl Streep or the Nazis.
Oh, stop like, that now. That's a bad
analogy. It's a tough call. Yeah. What will he do? No, because here's the funniest thing for him, and funniest thing for me, and maybe you too, Breitbart.com will always attacks me when I say things on your show.
Right.
Wrote an article praising my article because they hate Chris Christie because they don't think he's conservative enough. So they show that in 2011, Chris Christie said, I'm against this. He was at the Reagan Library.
Right.
In a nice, comfy confines.
Did you say library?
Library.
Okay,
library.
There you go.
My library. And, I do something like drop the R. I'm from Jersey, so this is how we speak. Ours are optional. They're like electives. So, I'm homeschooled, Stephanie.
Right,
how dare you?
Listen,
my parents.
Listen, I'm sorry.
So the library. And he said, I'm against this. He goes, it's ridiculous. And he said, it's not heartless. It's common sense. Guess what? 2013, he's running for re-election. Thinking of 2016, flip-flop, big time, says, I'm now in favor. That's just 2 years later.
I'm sure it was a coincidence.
And I will sign this law, he said, during the campaign, just literally a month ago before being re-elected. He said,
I'm sure it was a coincidence, but he was speaking at the Latino Leadership Alliance of New Jersey. I'm sure that was... Yeah.
He's, you know what, everyone talks about Mitt Romney being, Chris Christie being this blunt-talking guy, speaks from the heart, not a typical politician. Guess what, he did a full Romney here.
Yeah.
He etched a sketched himself in 2 years on a fundamental issue. about supporting institutions.
And by the way, when Chris Christie does a pivot of that size, that's typhoon time. You know what I'm saying? Whoa, look out below.
This is an army alert.
But he said in October 2013, and this is after, as you obviously what you said, he said directly against it at Reagan Library, even publicly criticized Rick Perry for signing similar legislation in Texas, as you write. And then he said in 2013, I believe every child should be given the opportunity to reach their God-given potential. That's the moral requirement. We need to get to work in the state legislature around things like making sure there's tuition equality for everyone in New Jersey. So here we are, right? And then a few days later at the gubernatorial debate, you say he reiterated that he now supported this proposed Tuition Equality Act. Right, but now we'll see in terms of, you know, the presidential politics of it, right?
Conservatives don't like him, like real arch-conservatives. The Tea Party people are already attacking him on his record. We talked about his economic record, I think, last week. And so I'm becoming the Chris Christie expert, apparently, on this stuff. But it's going to be a challenging time for him because in the election, it will help him. If he wins the nomination, this helps him. This is the kind of stuff. It helped him in New Jersey. In 2009, when he first ran for election, he only got 32% of the Latino vote. Flash forward, 2013, re-election, he wins 51% of the Latino vote. Not just for this issue, because he really did make inroads into the community, being there. You know, people tend to like the guy. He's likable. So in the big picture, it's
right, but he won.
I don't think he gets out of the primary, though. This kind of stuff, you sign this. And it's a big difference in Jersey for Rutgers or the state university. In-state, $10,000 tuition. Out-of-state, $24,000. So if you're a child of an undocumented immigrant living in New Jersey, you've lived your whole life here, and if you can't get that benefit, savings $14,000 in a year, you may never go to college. And that's ridiculously horrible. And so I agree ultimately with the position Christie's taken, but I don't think it helps him in the primary at all. Conservatives are already rallying against it because of this.
Well, he won, obviously, a lot of the Hispanic vote, up 51%, up from the 32% he attracted last time. And as you say, so when the bill is placed on his desk, what will he do? Will he try to find some technicality that will allow him to veto it, but claim he still supports the policy in principle? I mean, that's kind of what he did on gay marriage, right?
That's exactly what he did, and that's what that was my point in a way. And I think they took that out in the edit, those son of a guns. But that was exactly my point on gay marriage. He punted. He goes, hey, look, you know, I'm against it. Sort of like the old time with Catholics being, I'm against abortion, but I'm not going to impose my views on everybody else. He was taking that kind of position on this, on gay marriage. I'll let the voters decide in a referendum. So I think if he could duck it, he would, but it just passed the Senate on Monday in New Jersey. The Assembly is controlled by Democrats. They said they're going to pass it. It's going to get to him in a few weeks, and I think that's when the media is going to focus on it more. And what will he do? And he's going to start getting pressure from conservatives and GOP people, you know, the party bosses who want him are going to be like, you can't sign that.
Yeah.
You know, I can't do the Cheney impression. I wish I could do the Cheney voice.
Very easy. You'd just lose your soul.
It sounds like Batman and Bane.
Exactly.
Exactly. Dean, great stuff. We will talk to you again soon, honey.
Thanks a lot.
All right, there he goes, Dean. Oh, bloody, oh, bloody. I don't think he heard his jingle.
I don't think so either.
That was a lot of work
that
someone else did.
Well, Rocky Mountain Mike did it.
Right.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike.
And thank you to the Beatles as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's go to Robert. Back to fighting amongst ourselves. Robert in Austin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Robert.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
I was just going back to your Liz Cheney campaign.
Yes.
And to borrow a phrase from her father, this looks like a campaign that's in its last throes.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. I mean, it is. It smacks of a desperation ploy, you know? I mean, it's. Let's go to Megan in Chicago. Hello, Megan. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Hello, go ahead.
I have found a way to bring peace between you and Chris
with
this whole Cheney conspiracy theory.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there is one, but I think it's only halfway. I believe that Liz Cheney is pandering to the far right wing base and in essence throwing her sister under the bus because she's so disingenuous. I think that Mary is a little tired of getting thrown under the bus and she's finally fighting back.
Mm-hmm.
So you both win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Let's go.
I still don't buy it.
It's like kissing your sister.
Are you team Jen?
I think Mary is just as devious as Liz.
Hmm. Catherine in California.
Gee, where would they get that from?
Exactly.
Where do they get this sort of evil behavior?
Catherine in California, hi.
Good morning. I have to agree. I was listening to Bush's press secretary yesterday saying this family sticks together. They would never allow you know, this kind of thing to be out there. And I think when they showed the
unless it was for a reason.
In Wyoming are upside down from the rest of the country. Only 36% support same-sex marriage. Yeah. So I think they decided they had to go far, far right, and they just had to look at she won't even support her own sister, and that will make her look so far to the right.
Right.
And I think it's just very contrived. It's very sad to say, but I think they're
going
to
make Mary. Do you think they're going to make Mary dye her hair red and say she's really just a stepchild? Diana, they're not my real parents anyway. It's okay.
I think Mary.
Please, sir, can I have another?
I think Mary agreed to be thrown under the bus in order for the cause.
You're ridiculous.
I tried to dye my hair red. Look what happened.
Diana in Wisconsin.
It didn't take, because I'm not a communist.
Hi, Steph. I am on your side on this.
Thank you.
I am. I think that now that Mary is away from her crazy, crazy family, she's speaking her true colors. And she doesn't have the fear of all that weight that's directly on her.
You're
when
assuming
she's
that
with
she's
her family.
And that, you know, she's not in. Liz is obviously not invited. They're having Thanksgiving at Mary and Heather's with, you know, with the Cheneys. And apparently, Liz has too many carpet bags to pack. You can't check that many bags.
Doesn't that tell it all?
Yeah,
I think it's
such a close family. Why would she not be invited?
I think it's because she's in the middle of a campaign.
Right, too many carpet bags to check. You know, have all the new regulations and charges with airlines.
I'm sorry, your carpet bags will not fit in the overhead compartment.
Right.
I think it's a big stretch to
you
assume
you can only
that
check one carpet bag, not 10.
I think it's a big stretch to assume that Mary Cheney has some compassion or anything, or has come to the light.
Well, I think that's very harsh of you.
Well, we're talking about the Cheneys, for God's sakes.
45 minutes after the hour.
By the way, you can go yourself.
Right.
Right. Yeah. We're just getting warmed up for all our family Thanksgivings. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Sexy liberal Carlos sells Rocky in hour number 3 for coffee with Carlos. He'll have to walk almost 100 yards to get here from his house.
That's true.
Where he spends most of his day yelling at drivers going too fast, like a cranky old man in his cul-de-sac.
Well, it's not.
He has spawned.
Cul-de-sac, but yeah.
Right. Okay. I've not been to the cul-de-sac.
No, it's not. It's
all right. Hey, looky here. Another day, another
Wheel of Right-Wing Hypocrites!
Oh. You know that guy that was just busted on a cocaine charge? Representative Trey Riddell?
Oh, yeah. In Florida.
Right. Republican.
Uh-huh.
He voted for drug testing food stamp recipients. Nicely done, sir.
He was busted as part of a sting operation.
Right. In September, Representative Trey Riddell voted for Republican legislation that would allow states to make food stamp recipients pee in cups to prove they're not on drugs. Police just busted him on the charge of cocaine possession. Oh, and he kind of went Mayor Ford, didn't he? Said, I struggle with the disease of alcoholism, and this led to an extremely irresponsible choice.
Yeah.
Same thing. Drunken stupors. Did I do some crack? Yeah, probably.
Well,
what's your point?
Yeah. Riddell didn't do crack, though.
Right. Cocaine. Pardon me. he said, this is a clear and obvious problem in our communities, as nearly 30 states have introduced legislation to drug tests for welfare programs. We have a moral obligation to equip the states with the tools they need to discourage the use of illegal drugs. Blah, 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 blah. Most of the state legislation, by the way, was authored by Republicans. Oftentimes, Democrats responded by suggesting that perhaps lawmakers should be subject to tests as well.
Yes!
Representative Jim McGovern, Democrat of Massachusetts, said, why don't we drug test all the members of Congress here?
Oh, there's certainly no need for that in Canada.
Bueller? Riddell? Riddell, where are you? Where's your cup? He said, force everybody to go urinate in cup and see whether or not anybody's on drugs. Maybe that'll explain why some of these amendments are coming up or some of these votes are turning out the way they are.
Snark!
Boy, he blew that one. All right. oh, by the by, what? So once again, we are the California. We are the awesomest.
Kind of.
We are the ing awesome, just saying. We were talking about yesterday in the L.A. Times, health care plan enrollment surges in some states after a rocky rollout. And this is very, very bad news for Republicans. Enrollment surging in many states as tens of thousands of consumers sign up for insurance plan made available by the health care law. A number of states that use their own system, including California, are on track to hit enrollment targets for 2014 because of a sharp increase in November. What we're seeing is incredible momentum, said the director of Covered California. Several other states, including Connecticut and Kentucky, are outpacing their enrollment estimates. Even the states that depend on the federal website lag far behind. In Minnesota, enrollment in the second half of October ran at triple the rate of the first half.
Wow.
The trend also emphasizes how widely experience with the new law varies by location. You know who that's going to be very bad news for, Jim? A lot of turtle trouble? Kentucky.
Oh, boy. I did not want to hear that. Turtle tunnel.
He's going to have to politically go back and
retreat into turtle tunnel. Turtle tunnel.
Yeah. He's going to be running, I guess, on taking away insurance from all the Kentuckians. Yep. That just, they're like the gold standard now.
They are. Good for them.
Right. Okay. And meanwhile, LA Times also talking about a California-style fix for Obamacare's runaway premiums. Guess what we did out here, Jim? It's a little thing called regulation.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Grand Paul's toupee just spun around like,
I'd like
Kathleen
see that.
Turner in Man with Two Brains. Regulation of insurance companies introduced by Prop 103, you remember that one? Could repair a loophole in the Affordable Care Act. And this is what I'm talking about. We were blaming people that are predisposed to blame Obama. You should be blaming insurance companies.
What did Prop 103 entail?
Well, I will tell you, Sonny.
Thank you, because I don't remember that.
It was back in 1984.
Oh, I wasn't here. I was
just 1 year after Mama graduated from USC.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't here for that.
Of course, I had nothing to do with this. I was busy voting for Reagan then. But anyway, other smart people in California.
Well, there you go again.
You campaigned for him, too, didn't you?
I did not. I was just a dweeby little USC student. What the hell did I know?
Well, at least you voted.
Yes. The president and Jim never forgets to remind me. Anyway, last week, the president announced that he would allow the health insurers to renew current policies for an additional year, but he left the final decision to the companies or state authorities, who promptly warned that the result would be higher premiums. The law places no limits on the price insurance companies can charge for the coverage we are required to buy. This is really important, something we've been talking about. It's no surprise the insurers are now jacking up premiums and co-pays while limiting prescription drug benefits and dumping doctors and hospitals from their networks. California lawmakers faced a similar egregious error in 1984, when they passed a law requiring residents to buy automobile insurance but failed to regulate prices. So, of course, the insurance companies took advantage, imposing double or triple-digit premium increases. A voter revolt ensued. And therein lies the solution to the current health care law debacle. This is great stuff in the LA Times. 25 years ago this month, angry California voters passed a ballot measure to stringently control automobile as well as home and business insurance premiums, an unprecedented $63 million campaign by the automobile as well as home and business insurance the insurance industry could not stop this grassroots rebellion. Huh. In a historic upset, Prop 103 swept away decades of deregulation, discriminatory practices, and barriers to competition in the insurance marketplace. So, anyway, voters also enacted critical protections against any last-minute chicanery by insurance companies before implementation of their reforms. For example, to prevent opportunistic price gouging, before Prop 103 went into effect, the law imposed a one-year post-election freeze on rate increases, plus 20% across-the-board premium rollback. It barred insurance companies from arbitrarily canceling or refusing to renew auto policies. I actually forgotten all about this as well. California, the only state in the nation where the average auto insurance premium lower today than it was in 1989, when I had my orange Carmen Ghia with orange mag wheels. Don't ask me why.
Orange with orange wheels?
Yeah, I thought it was cool.
Oh.
Once the second most expensive state for auto insurance in the nation, California now ranks 30th, according to the report. California has provided auto insurance consumers the most effective and protective regulatory system in the United States, according to a new report. Yeah, and here's the rub. Prop 103 did not originally apply to health insurance, unfortunately. To remedy that, Consumer Watchdog has qualified an initiative for the November 2014 ballot that would place health insurance companies doing business in California under Prop 103's regulatory controls. The nation will be watching as California voters once again lead the way in insurance reform, this time with a state-based strategy to close the loophole in the Affordable Care Act. Wouldn't that be something if you had people on the national level that were helpful and could do that sort of thing nationally so that insurance companies could stop gouging? Wouldn't that be something? All right, 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yeah, it is. Why?
Why?
Because we're all going to have coffee with Carlos. Sexy liberal Carlos Alzraki in hour number three. Very, very exciting. Speaking of excited, David says, Steph, I'm a big fan. I'm having severe withdrawal. Any news on the new TV show? Help! Dave, there's a lot of moving parts.
So many moving,
moving
parts.
Every second. I know I am a big tease. And I do keep promising, but we're getting there. Everybody, okay. And also, furthermore, okay. All right, kids. Sexy Liberal Extravaganza, by the way, Seattle, December 14th. Ooh, some very big surprises, I believe, for that one.
Really?
Very exciting. December 14th. And then what do we got? Go to sexyliberal.com, Sexy Liberal on Facebook. We've got Phoenix in February, and then, of course...
Once upon a time, there was a girl named Stephanie who gathered a ragtag band of progressive jesters to rid the land of the great conservative darkness. And history was made in the great city of Madison when the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour was born.
Seems like a long time ago.
And now is their triumphant midterm election return.
We're putting the band back together.
Yes, we can.
On March 29th, Stephanie Miller and her merry, marauding collection of sexy liberal comics will return to where it all started, the Barrymore Theater in Madison, Wisconsin. Tickets are available online at barrymorelive.com. Don't miss the midterm mayhem and an early Scott Walker retirement party.
Take care now. Bye-bye then.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, March 29th at the Barrymore Theater. Go to barrymorelive.com.
And don't forget April 15th, isn't it? Wait a minute. No, I'm wrong. I have it here. Albuquerque. Just go to sexyliberal.com.
Yeah.
Sexyliberal on Facebook.
Phoenix is February 15th.
Right.
I think that's what you might have been thinking of.
Sorry. Okay. Just go do it.
Okay.
Do it. Get it.
Do it.
Right. Oh, speaking of sexy liberals, Tom Hartman, who we had on yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, it occurred to me, Jim, he's really quite smart.
You're just noticing this?
Right.
But he gets so giggly when he's on with you. It's
I know.
Adorable.
He does get giggly.
And he agrees with me about the Kennedy assassination.
Of course. Of course. He, yes, he, I always feel like I should be, I'm like, oh, God, are we going to be tested on this? Whenever I talk to him, I'm like, it's a lot of knowledge all packed in. Anyway, he has a brand new book out, surprisingly enough.
Yeah.
Because it's been 5 minutes. The Crash of 2016. And he will be doing a book signing tonight right here in Los Angeles, if you are in L.A., from 7 to 9:30 at the Lemley Santa Monica Theater in Santa Monica.
Nice.
Go get it. All right, tell him a fart joke. He likes it. Do it. Okay. All right, so we were talking about, I had totally forgotten about Prop 103, Jim, which is what regulated the insurance industry out here in California, why we have like some of the lowest car insurance in the country, and how that's how they should close the loophole in affordable care so that insurance companies can't.
There you
because
go.
That's part of the problem is, you know, they're not going to stop being insurance companies. Do you want me to tell the frog and the scorpion?
No,
no, no.
Okay.
Or the tortoise and the hare.
Right. Right. Anyway, looking at another piece, poll shows Republican losing ethnicity and age battle. Ethnicity is a really hard word to say.
Yes, it is, especially if you have a listener.
It is especially difficult.
You're despicable.
my pronunciation.
You're despicable.
And it is not because of my ethnicity. At any rate, it reminds me of the great Bill Maher bit. It's because we got rid of all the Californians. That's why, the Republicans. That's why things in California are working so well. There we go. Where is Bill?
Right here.
Where is Bill?
Right
okay.
Here.
Yeah. Glad we're ready with
you know,
that.
New rule, conservatives who love to brag about American exceptionalism must come here to California and see it in person. And then they should be afraid. Because while right-wingers are taking over places like North Carolina and Texas and even Wisconsin, California is creating the kind of modern liberal nation the country as a whole can only dream about. And only can't the rest of the country stop this, we're going to drag you with us. Now... It wasn't that long ago that pundits were calling California a failed state and saying it was ungovernable. But in 2010, when other states were busy electing whatever Tea Partier claimed to hate government the most, we elected a guy who actually liked it, Jerry Brown. And without a Republican governor and without a legislature blocked by Republicans, a $27 billion deficit was turned into a surplus. How? Well, it's amazing, really. We did something economists call cutting spending and raising taxes. I know, it sounds like... It sounds like crazy science fiction, but you see, here in California, we're not just gluten-free and soy-free and peanut-free. We're Tea Party-free. Yes, we can live in reality. I mean... Texas could do it, too, but they love freedom too much. Like when that unregulated fertilizer plant blew up. In California, when things blow up, it's because we're making a Jason Statham movie. No, California is not perfect, but it is in our nature to try new things. For example, now that it's clear Obamacare is going to be a success here, the movement to just go all the way to single payer is gathering steam. In lots of areas, California has decided not to wait around for the caboose part of America to get on board. Yokels can mock European-style democracies all they want. We're building one here. Gay marriage, pot smoking, regulating carbon. And people like it. The same way when Americans come back from a vacation in Europe, they all say the same thing. I saw on the beach. But... They also remark on the modern airports and train stations over there and the absence of beggars in the street and food that tastes like food. And they wonder, why can't we get that here? Well, you will be getting that here, courtesy of the Golden State. Why? Because we're huge. We're huge. 40 million of us. When we demand something, the market must supply it. Like when California set a high mileage standard for cars sold in this state, Detroit had to make more efficient cars. California by itself is the eighth largest economy in the world, the fifth largest agricultural exporter, and of course, number one in laser vaginal rejuvenation. Oh, I pat myself on the back. You know, it's so ironic. The two things conservatives love the most, the free market and states' rights, are the two things that are going to bend this country into California's image as a socialist f-topia. Maybe our constipated Congress in Washington can't pass gun control laws, but we just did. Because we don't give a shit about the NRA. Out here, that stands for nuts, racists, and assholes.
Yahoo! And guess what? The news is only getting worse for Republicans in California. Deep Jim inside a new USC LA Times poll. Details that could make the California Republican Party, and by extensions its cohorts elsewhere in the country, fear anew the march of time and demographics. Talking to you, Liz Cheney. The poll serves as a confirmation that long-term problems loom for Republicans, the collision between ethnicity That came out just like that.
Yes, it did. How did that
happen?
And
age is even more lethal. 6 in 10 white voters are over 50. Already the younger and minority voters, 38% of the voter pool, are propping up Democrats in California. Other poll findings suggest no end to that imbalance. At this point, Republicans in the state largely continue to weigh against immigration reform and Obamacare, two key issues that help to define candidates for minority voters. Hooray. Particularly, I hope he's right about the march to single payer, right?
Yes.
For heat. Right. Sue in Rockville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sue.
Hi there, Steph. Hey, Mooks. Good morning.
Hi. Wow.
Hi. Listen, first of all, when I called last week, it was about Prop 103. That's when I was talking about the car insurance being well regulated and when we do insurance, et cetera. So thank you for covering that. Thank you for moving away from the Viles Cheney's, because I was going to call both you and Chris out that you were both wrong. Because honestly, whether it's douche nozzle Mike Enzi or spawn of Satan Liz Cheney, Wyoming is still going to be a bright red state with real conservatives. A senator who's not going to help this country one bit at all. And the only thing I want to hear come from your show is when Cheney's been arrested and is being frog marched to The Hague.
All right.
I speak for the chat room. They've asked, this is not just me.
All right. We both lose. Oh, well. Good day, sirs.
Good day.
David in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Stephanie. I just want to comment about Liz and Mary. Actually, with the Cheney family, it's really about opportunity and nepotism.
Yeah.
What happened recently is that, I don't know who came first, but Liz Cheney is running for office, then Dick Cheney's book came out, and suddenly there was no news coverage about it. The key idea was to bring their family back to national attention. What did they do? They create this conflict between Liz and Mary, and then suddenly you have everything in the news talking about Liz and Mary. And not only that, it's really about opportunity for that family. It's like a good cop, bad cop situation where, and it is a win-win situation.
I don't think so. I mean, I get what you're saying. I just don't think so. I think it is real, their reaction.
I think Mary's taking the bullet for the family.
That's probably a bad choice of phrase in the Cheney family.
Well.
Okay.
Or it might be very
taking
appropriate.
Taking the bird shot?
Yes. When I say take a bullet, it means something very specific.
It's a little too literal in that family. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by Carbonite. Okay. All right. President Obama on the Affordable Care Act.
We are going to have to, fix the website so everybody feels confident about that. We're going to have to, obviously, remarket and rebrand, and that will be challenging in this political environment.
Yeah, boy. I misfortune of having CNN on where I was getting my oil changed.
Dear.
And when they're talking about this whole thing, it's a disaster. It's the end of his presidency.
Yes. One day the crisis Chiron department will run out of L words. Debacle.
Debacle.
Calamity.
Calamity.
Calamitous rollout.
A biblical proportion.
Of a horrible care. By the way, Daily Coast had the same take I did, though, on the president's fix. President calls GOP and insurance companies bluff. The fix the president has instituted is rather ingenious. More importantly, it immediately ensured that Congress, the insurance companies, and the American citizens absorb responsibility for the solution. And that's exactly what I said. The insurance companies are now upset. I rate that as a good thing. When they canceled policies, they did so with an upsell of more expensive policies as opposed to encouraging folks to go to the Obamacare exchanges. In doing so, they created a political firestorm instigated by Republicans. Now the insurance companies are complaining about the fix disrupting the insurance markets. They're just talking about it's somewhat of a mess, but politically necessary to expose insurance companies and Republicans. It will illustrate realities versus perceived hypotheticals. And that's what we're finding when the realities are are happening in places like California and Kentucky, the results are staggering. Mm-hmm. There's real momentum. And as the president said, a huge market for this, for affordable care. The president again, yes.
One of the problems we've had is one side of Capitol Hill is invested in failure, and that makes, I think, the kind of iterative process of fixing glitches as they come up and fine-tuning the law more challenging. But I'm optimistic that we can get it fixed.
By the by, here's something. The company is using ACA confusion to sell junk insurance.
Great.
George, here's one story, just one story. TPM has this. Georgian Mortimer, who runs a winery, hello, future wife, and lives in Hilton Head, South Carolina, was recently having trouble accessing the online health insurance exchange, so she decided to check in with a local insurance agent who in 2010 had sold her an individual health insurance policy from a company named U.S. Health Group. It didn't take long for Mortimer to realize that something was off. She started to basically tell me how bad the exchanges are, and the exchanges are only for the very sick people. And she said, have you had a cancer, heart attack, you or your husband? I said, no. She said, well, good, because if you said yes, I would have to recommend the exchanges. The agent then proceeded to offer Mortimer a product she touted as not meeting the minimum coverage requirements set by the Affordable Care Act. The agent strongly recommended that Mortimer sign up before January 1st so she could lock in her premium for 3 years. I said, I thought the non-compliant ACA policies can't be sold. She said, well, we can still sell ACA non-compliant plans, but we can't compete on the exchange. And I didn't know. I didn't think that was possible. The Affordable Care Act was designed to make sure all Americans have a certain level of insurance. TPM has learned that U.S. Health Group is actively telling consumers they don't need that minimum level. Healthcare industry analysts have long derided the kinds of non-insurance health care coverage products the company is selling as junk insurance. A senior fellow with Kaiser Family Foundation said a fixed benefit plan is not health insurance in the sense it's going to protect you in any way from going broke. People do need to be careful, not just because they won't be satisfying the mandate, but because they will be uninsured, and that never works out well for people. Mm. So, you know, what were we talking about yesterday? All the Koch brother groups that are going to college campuses actively encouraging kids not to sign up, not
by,
to go
by giving out. Them, yeah, by giving them beer koozies.
Right, beer koozies. And you said you would have done anything for a beer koozie in college.
Hey,
which just
college?
Says everything you need to know.
Free stuff?
About you.
I got into a lot of credit card debt because I got a free 2-liter bottle of Pepsi.
Excuse me?
If you signed up for a credit card, they gave you a free bottle of Pepsi.
Wow.
What?
See, I brought ramen noodles today, and I could not even give that to you guys for free.
No.
See, you get old and wise.
I learned my lesson with that 2-liter bottle of Pepsi.
What comes attached to these free ramen noodles? And suddenly you've signed, like, an indentured servitude agreement with me for
exactly.
the rest of your life.
Right.
Okay. You'll be like 90 in a wheelchair. I'll just be propping your hands up on the board. Just push the button. You still know which buttons to push. Just do it. Do it. Do it.
I think
do
I
it.
Just launched an airstrike. Oops.
Do it, button pusher.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, at any rate. But I mean, and by the way, we got to get Jackie on to talk about this because I was even confused. This is what they're doing. They're actively trying to sell confusion, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But what they were encouraging, I guess, is to them not to go to the exchanges, to go to private insurers like Esurance or something, which I don't even, and that's what I'm afraid
Esurance
of.
Esurance is owned by Allstate.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. It's going to a private insurance company that's going to tell you whatever, you know what I mean, we'll try to sell you the most expensive policy. I mean, so that's why I don't even get encouraging people kids not to get insurance at all or to not get it through the exchange. I don't even get.
That makes no sense.
Yeah.
Well, college students would be able to stay on their parents' insurance anyway.
Right, but what somebody made the point, though, Chris, is that how many millions of Americans don't have insurance?
Yeah.
So they don't have a plan for their kids to stay on. That's the whole problem. That's what the Affordable Care Act is for.
Yeah.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
There's not that many men out there looking for a 40-something-year-old who needs lots of foreplay and is a mediocre cook.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Okay, somebody with a worse love life than mine, which always makes me happy. Guess where, Jim? Guess where this happened?
Florida?
In another stunning edition of WTF Florida. Florida woman marries a Ferris wheel.
Ah, right. Yes.
Linda Ducharme married Bruce. She first met Bruce, whose real name is actually the skydiver, at a carnival in 1982, as you do.
Okay.
And it was... Don't you have carnies in your family, Chris?
Why do you keep bringing that? Yes, I do. Well, my cousin ran away and married a carny or something.
Really?
Wow.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah, we haven't heard
why
from
does
her.
Nobody ever run away and marry an accountant?
Hey, why don't you... Why don't you meet me in the tilt-a-whirl?
And it was love at first sight. I got this weird feeling I can't explain. Can I have some love music, please? I got this weird feeling I can't explain. My heart was pounding. We went up on the platform, and I got on the ride. I felt like I was being taken by this ride.
Okay.
Could I have some love music, please? Her previous relationships include a fly-by-night affair with an airplane and a romance with a train that eventually derailed.
Mm-hmm.
The vow renewal was conducted by a non-denominational priest.
It would have to be non-denominational.
Right. she's not the only one, Jim, just in case you're wondering. In June, an Australian artist, Jody Rose, got hitched to a 600-year-old bridge.
Bonza.
In southern France. In France, just makes you do crazy things. In October, Edward Smith admitting having sex with more than 1,000 cars. But said he had decided to commit to vanilla, a Volkswagen Beetle he purchased 3 years ago.
Volkswagen
no,
Beetle.
No, a Beetle. Beetle. I can see it. Kind of round, curvy, sexy, little bug, cute, little thing.
All right.
Your wife's cute as a bug. All right. Jim, squeezy stack for you.
Oh.
All right, if I can have love music, can I have squeezy music then? Thank you.
I gave you love music.
Did you? Okay.
You don't listen to me.
Horny student title goes to girl who sleeps with three guys a week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 20-year-old female undergrad, the third proudest person in the world, following her two proud parents. After being named winner of a month-long contest to find the horniest student.
Mm-hmm.
She bet hundreds of sex-mad contestants with this sexy entry. I should be the UK's horniest student because I have sex with at least 2 to 3 different people a week. Sometimes I go clubbing, have sex with someone, and then go back to the club to pick up my second victim. Feeling horny right now, so might just text someone on my shag list and do it in the computer room. Done this before, it was great. With your help, with the help of alcohol, I will become an even hornier student.
Nice. Good to know. All right.
Desi Ann's lovemaking partners have gotten so numerous.
Desi Ann.
She is Latavian. Latvian.
Latvian. Latavian?
Latvian.
Where's Latavia?
It's near Batavia, where I'm from. Sorry. She's been forced to start keeping a list. Sometimes she'll forget a name and include a description instead. French guy or Marine guy. It's like what you would name your soldiers, you know, the little toy soldiers.
Yeah.
Bayonet guy.
Yeah.
Bayonet
laying guys. Down guy.
Right.
Got his head blown off, guy.
Yeah.
How did that
got
happen?
Got his head melted off with a magnifying glass,
right,
guy.
Asked about, I guess they're all laying down, guy, though. Pretty much. Maybe.
Well,
maybe not.
Maybe not.
Uh-huh.
Maybe she's the only one.
Well,
maybe she's on a pinball machine or something.
Who knows? Marine guy. Asked about
send those cards and letters to Jim.
Jim, directly to Jim.
Yeah,
JimAndMiller.com. Mm-hmm. Asked about how being named the horniest student might impact her employability. Desi-Ann's nicknamed herself Slutvian. Shrugs.
Or Slutavian.
Slutavian. I hope employers see it as a bit of fun, and it shows I'm more confident than the average girl. Oh, boy. I'm sure some employers would like to put her on their staff, but...
As it were. Wow. I hear the itchy kitty has an opening.
She obviously has an opening.
Okay.
Hey.
Although, if you saw the picture of her...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she makes up for it in enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
Enthusiasm.
Enthusiasm.
She's got enthusiasm.
Enthusiasm.
I'll wait till Carlos gets here, and then they'll do it in concert like they normally do.
Yeah.
All right. I, as you know, am dating and married to Max and Fred, my handsome romantic man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, featured in my Out 100 picture, if you want to see that. We can post that again up on our Facebook page.
It is your cover photo on your Facebook page.
I will do it. Go to Facebook. They're so handsome.
You can't help but see the picture.
Could I have my love music again? Because you sent me this. Someone in Salon wrote Why Women Love Big Dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke to a dozen or more women who agreed that they're big dogs.
Because they're Slutvanian? Slutavian?
I'm Slutavian.
Sure. Yeah. I think you have to be a slut in order to be Slutavian, though.
Who agreed their big dogs had nothing to do with a power trip. Their big dogs were gentle giants. That's true. That's Max and Fred, right? I've had many a friend remark, these are the worst guard dogs ever. They would help me load my car with everything in your house.
Can I go for a ride in the car?
And she described her big dog. She said she loved him in part because he was massive. When we spooned, he was substantial.
That's what I always tell Max and Fred, that you have a substantial chest and shoulders.
Oh, wow. That's weird.
Yeah, he was a big, sturdy, muscular boy.
That's
I like him big and stupid. I do.
That's pathological. Don't do that.
Salon writing, are women who love big dogs by nature more cuddly?
Computer says yes.
Are they more active?
Computer says yes.
Are they caretakers? Maybe women who love big dogs are strong by nature and not afraid to take on challenges.
Computer says yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Or they just like to have men who obey.
I think that's it. Although Max and Fred do not obey.
No, they do not. No, Great Pyrenees, they come when they want to, not when you call them.
Also,
when they feel like it.
Also, your dogs aren't trained at all in any way, shape, or form.
They're what?
They're not trained in any way, shape, or form, so...
No.
I know how to eat and poop.
That's all they know how to do. They can't even shake hands.
And by the way, I am just the crankiest bitch in the world when I hike with them, because how many years have I had these kind of giant dogs, and no one ever knows what they are?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's a big dog!
So I get the same jokes and the same questions, like, probably 25 times a day.
Do you have a saddle for that thing?
I used to have a Great Dane, so you get that all the time.
Go ahead, you be me. What kind of dog is that?
It's a Great Pyrenees.
What again?
It's a Great Pyrenees.
What? I never heard of that. What kind?
It's a Great Pyrenees.
Okay.
So apparently you hike with Chris Matthews.
There you go.
Fair enough!
And I'm sure that Jessica Lange gets the same questions all the time when she goes hiking.
I love you, Francis!
I said that I am irritating when I'm irritated and irritating when I hike.
I see that lady from the Francis movie!
Shut up.
Don't even get me started on the stupid notes people leave.
I've done things since then, thank you very much.
She almost went all American Horror Story on me.
She could, too.
Yikes. Go ahead, do the line when she slits the other witch's throat.
This coven doesn't need a new supreme. It needs a new rug.
Okay. All right. You feel better now?
I love that show.
All right.
Oh, my God.
I think that may be a finer performance of yours than the Bering Wall.
Tear down that bitch of a Bering wall and put a window where it ought to be.
Oh. All right. You want your house to collapse? Okay. Your funeral.
Right. No, it was in her New York apartment.
Ah.
So the entire building would have come down.
Right.
Randy in Omaha just happens to be a small business owner, and it happens to be an insurance business. And he likes to listen to both sides, and he has some things. Hello. Good morning, Randy.
Yes. Hello. My name is Randy Brimmer. I'm here in Omaha, Nebraska.
Okay.
And I would like to talk about... I'm a health insurance agent.
Right.
And I'm a Democrat. I voted for Obama.
Did you really now? Really? Twice?
Yes.
Yes. And you're a big fan of the Affordable Care Act as well, right?
Well, not so much. Well, I'd rather have Medicare for everybody.
Of course you would.
Well, yeah. Wouldn't we all?
But here's my peeve is my clients can still get a really good coverage, unlimited lifetime, no preventative care copays. All sicknesses and accidents are covered, and they can get it cheaper than they can after January 1 on the exchange because of Obamacare requirements on the policies. But these are not junk policies. You know, they're unlimited lifetime. There's no limit on anybody in the family. The preventative care is free. Sicknesses and accidents are all covered. So it bothers me that you call them all junk policies because they're not.
I didn't call them all junk policies, only the ones that are junk policies.
Well, you know, they're cheaper, too. My client right now, I have a client right now who can get it cheaper. Mm-hmm. I just quoted it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Then he can't anything on the exchange for next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet you that is. What's the phrase I'm looking for? Oh.
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap.
But he voted for Obama twice.
Stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
I voted for the Kenyan communist Nazi twice. What? What'd I say?
Oh,
what?
God. It's the script. Every caller to every progressive show.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, I am a proud Obama voter.
I like listening to both sides.
Right. And I just happened to be an insurance agent. And all of my clients were insured for a penny. Before Obamacare. Because the insurance companies have always been your friend.
We are at war with East Asia. We have always been at war with East Asia.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
All right. 45 minutes after the hour, I call. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Okay. So anyway, we've been talking all morning about the Affordable Care Act, and I love the turtle trouble that the Mitch McConnell is going to have no trouble. He will be politically back in a turtle tunnel. Perhaps instead of the Senate. In Salon, Brian Butler writes, "The amazing politics of Obamacare's success story, especially in Kentucky, could cost the GOP their leader." Oh dear. The fact the Affordable Care Act enrollments are spiking in states that have functioning exchange websites of their own is great news for the law and for the many thousands of people that will be newly or better insured come January 1st. Also reinforces my sense that healthcare.gov's failure will create a really remarkable dichotomy. Didn't somebody use the phrase, there's going to be an insurance underclass?
Mm-hmm.
And I compared it to why we've moved so far on marriage equality, because out here in California, we created some sort of underclass of citizens, the people that were married and then that got that right taken away from them. We now have pretty solid evidence the Obama administration officials were correct when they claimed the demand for insurance under the Affordable Care Act is substantial, but has been trapped behind the malfunctioning website. This report is just devastating news for, of all people, Senator Mitch McConnell. He has been leading the vanguard, of course, against the Affordable Care Act. As a Kentucky senator and candidate with general election opponent, he will soon be running on a platform taking insurance away from tens, if not hundreds of thousands, of his own constituents. Kentucky's exchange is the gold standard for state-based exchanges and has been since day one. It has perhaps the highest-functioning Obamacare marketplace relative to uninsured population of any state in the country. Good luck, Yertle. Good luck with that. Let's go to Jennifer in Fresno. Hi, Jen.
Hello. I needed to respond to your insurance agent who called in about the lifetime limits.
Right.
Yeah, he does realize that there are no lifetime limits and preventive care is free because of the Affordable Care Act, right?
Right. Exactly.
I mean, this is something that started in 2010. Had he said up until 1/1/14, there can be yearly limits on individual policies, then yes, he's truthful. But come on, he's full of it.
Yeah, thank you. You call BS too.
Yep.
Mike in Chatsworth. Hi, Mike. Welcome.
Hey, Stephanie. How you doing?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I've been in the medical field for many years, and this is how I see it. These people that say that they want to keep their plans, these are the really bad plans. these plans are really good for maybe simple office visits, simple x-rays, labs, but have they really checked into their policy to see, does it cover the emergency room? If you need major surgery, does it cover major surgery, and how much does it cover? If you need to get admitted for medical reasons other than surgery, what does it cover? Does it cover durable medical equipment? And I bet you if they really looked into it, the plan they say, oh, I really love, they won't love it anymore.
Yeah, exactly right. Someone just sent me an e-card. George Zimmerman just learned that assaulting someone who's not black can get you arrested, like, right away. Oh, that's from John Fugelstein.
John Fugelstein said that.
Liberal. Who will join us Friday, of course, as usual for Fridays with Fugelstein. That's funny.
Funny because it's true.
Okay, Kathleen Sebelius on the...
We were hopeful that the testing that we did, and we did some end-to-end testing, would be sufficient. It clearly wasn't. And on balance, made a decision to move ahead. You know, if I had known then what I know now, we probably would have made a different call.
If you tested Radcliffe girls from end to end,
I wouldn't be a bit surprised. Yes!
As soon as she said that, I thought that as well.
Yeah.
All right.
She can't lead a horticulture, but you can't make her think.
No, you cannot. By the by, so the new right-wing meme is Obama knew. He knew it was going to be a huge...
There would be glitches, there would be problems, but that certainly we never expected. He was certainly not told.
Yeah, really? What, you think he would have? Seriously, it's just, this is getting so ridiculous. Representative Eric Cantor.
My face is getting bitchier by the minute.
His linen panties are in a bunch.
The president broke a major promise to the American people. And now it is hard for them to trust any assurances under this law.
Oh, yeah. By the way, that's one of their 6,000 reasons why they can't do immigration reform, because you just can't trust the president anymore.
Because the rollout was less than stellar.
Right. Representative Fred Upton.
The administration was on track for disaster, but stubbornly they stayed the course, repeating their claims that this all was well and on track right up until the mess that launched on October 1.
Okay, single payer then. All right. Mm-hmm. Medicare for all. Let's go.
The majority told Fred Upton to up his with his bill,
yes.
And that went down to defeat Representative Fred Upton.
2 weeks before she testified before this committee, Secretary Sebelius was present at an April 4th meeting where experts identified significant threats and risks launching the site on October 1st.
Okay.
She knew!
Oh, no. Okay. By the way, a lot of it... Can I read one more piece that uses football analogies?
Oh, boy.
About the health care law and the president? And, yeah, I know what you mean. It's right Monday night. Yeah. Yeah. Joshua Dubois in the Daily Beast. Anyone who counts Obama out hasn't reckoned on his survival skills. The president has proven his knack for surviving political and governmental crises time and time again. It's been a week of football metaphors in politics. President Obama said this week the administration fumbled the health care rollout. A lot of folks believe that this turnover is decisive, handing the ball to Republicans in Congress and opponents of health reform with the second half well underway. And now we're starting to see frightened Democrats on the sidelines hovering over Obama like uneasy linemen, wondering if their quarterback has enough left in him to turn the game around. Not me. I've seen this game and this particular quarterback far too many times before. And as I'm sure I'm never one to count out Peyton Manning when he's down by a couple scores heading into the fourth quarter. I never bet against Obama when the press and the pundits have declared game over. It rarely ever is. This guy knows how to win. Yeah. Game over, man.
Oh. Game over, man.
Carlos, that was Rocky next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
ABC's got the most explosive show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hola, 6 minutes after the hour. ¿Dónde está el sexy liberal Carlos Alzraque?
That's good coffee.
I take it black, like my man.
Coffee with Carlos sells Rocky.
I'll have a Zimbabwe latte.
I'll have a Kenya cappuccino.
She never has a second cup of coffee at home.
Mountain grown coffee.
Carlos sells Rocky.
I was going to make espresso.
Handpicked by Juan Valdez.
Coffee with Carlos.
Good to the last drop.
Muchas gracias. I want to thank Stephanie Miller for providing burro parking out front. This is very helpful to me. And Paco.
Paco, your burro.
My burro. I don't always do liberal talk shows, but when I do, I prefer Stephanie Miller con café.
That's right. Carlos was handpicked for our show by Juan Valdez.
Wrapped in a tobacco leaf.
Good morning, sir.
Shipped like an illegal lizard from a tropical island.
Good morning. You were telling us a story about the analogies are getting more and more ridiculous on the Affordable Care Act, are they not?
I'm on the Facebooks, and somebody sent me something from the Daily Blowhard, blah, 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 Republican, right. Yada, yada. And it was ironically from Oregon State University, and something like the debate team, the Socratic debate team, and one of the guys was arguing against Obama using an apples to idiots analogy, which my friend had thought, this is an excellent point against Obamacare. And the analogy was, look, we're getting into the question of morality. If we're on a beach and you have a sandwich and I want that sandwich and you give it to me, then that makes you feel good. That's a moral decision that you make. However, under Obamacare, if you're on the beach and you have a sandwich and I want it, here comes Obama riding on a horse with a gun to your head, pointing it in your face, telling you to give me the sandwich, and then you feel bad, and I feel entitled. Not only that, I feel that I can ask you for 7 sandwiches, and you have to give them to me. I'm like, what are you talking about?
What?
No. You're comparing going healthcare benefits everybody. It benefits the whole population for everybody to be healthy. And yes, somehow you're going to have to pay for that.
Right.
If you don't get your sandwich from this guy, then you go to emergency care and get a crappy sandwich and get sicker, and
right.
that guy has to pay for it anyway
right.
with no gun to his head.
I got lost back on the horse, but okay.
And people are applauding
apples to supernovas.
The problem, like what this argument, and particularly arguing gay marriage against somebody that's evangelical or against it, is that it's like multiplying by zero. You can't argue faith. You can only point out facts. You're like, just give me some facts.
I keep multiplying my zero, and I keep getting zero.
Yes.
What's wrong?
So that was what I
guess. What is happening?
The fact that he found this an excellent argument against Obamacare is like, no, that's...
Right. And hey, by the way, right winger, stop comparing everything to slavery.
Yeah, and Hitler.
And or the Holocaust. Exactly.
When Hitler had slaves during Katrina, it's exactly the same as Obamacare.
Right.
That's why I love this story.
It's only logical.
Did you see this? MSNBC's Martin Bashir apologized.
Yeah.
Issued an apology for suggesting that someone should defecate on former vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin.
Not just on her, in her mouth.
Oh, man, I'm going to rip out your throat.
That's not what he said. He was responding to a comment Palin made in which she compared the U.S. debt to slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Bashir, who also called Palin a world-class idiot.
Yes.
Computer says yes.
Stop him when he's wrong. Pounced on the slavery comparison during his Friday show on MSNBC. He recounted a story about an 18th century slave owner, Thomas Thistlewood.
Mm-hmm.
Bashir explained that Thistlewood recorded his brutality in a diary, which included stories of forcing slaves to defecate and urinate on each other as forms of punishment. Bashir then said, when Ms. Palin invokes slavery, she doesn't just prove her rank is ignorance. She confirms, is anyone truly qualified for a dose of discipline from Thomas Thistlewood, she would be the outstanding candidate. I have to say, it's a pretty highbrow reference.
Yes,
he didn't just say, on her. At least he was making a point about the brutality of slavery.
Yeah, the story sanitized it. He would make slaves defecate in each other's mouths.
Oh, dear.
That's fraternity hazing. There's nothing wrong with that. They do that in college campuses all over America.
Yeah, not at UCLA, we didn't.
Isn't that what Rush Limbaugh called the torture at Gitmo? Just, you know, fraternity franks.
Yeah.
It's just, by the way, what's the Dick Cheney thing? The only form of waterboarding he doesn't like is daughterboarding.
Daughterboarding.
Hey!
Oh, man. Poor Dick Cheney's got Sophie's choice. All right, girls, let's go on a hunting trip. I'll figure it out from there.
Which one am I?
Hey, Mary, what's that in the bushes? All right, Liz. Merry Christmas.
I don't think any kind of choice is being made. I think it's all just a setup.
The Stephanie Miller Show would like to apologize for Carlos's Rocky Place.
What?
Implication that Dick Cheney would shoot his gay daughter in order for his straight daughter to win a Senate seat.
Cheney's like De Niro in Goodfellas. No, walk down the street. There's a coat for you. Run a corner. He's got a coat for you. No. He's got to just keep walking around the corner.
In your defense, this is the longest you've ever gone on the show without getting me in deep.
Yeah, that's right. 7 minutes.
Have you ever been featured in the pages of Newsbusters?
I hope so. I blame my daughter. She keeps me up at night. It's her fault.
Didn't we get a headline last week? Why does Stephanie Miller hate the military? When I was talking about the touching story of the World War II veteran that got out of his wheelchair to greet the president. And
yes.
Carlos said he thought it was President Roosevelt. Uh-oh. He did not think it was
I'm sorry.
Can I use your wheelchair?
Hey, Forrest Whitaker's here to
movies.
Come take me see the president.
I love you, Morgan Freeman. I'll see you in Say Watanejo. All right.
Bill in Chicago, you're on with Carlos. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Stephanie. I just wanted to make a comment about all these people that are complaining about how come, you know, President Obama knew about all of this health care thing in April and all of this garbage. Well, how come when President Bush was the president, when we knew all about the whole thing in Iraq was all phony, nobody said anything about it? And as far as I know, nobody's been killed from the rollout of Obamacare.
Yeah, somebody, you know, Bill, somebody made that point the other day. We were saying that nobody remembers that combative a press conference during the Iraq War.
Or Rumsfeld. Where the website problems are. They're somewhere east or north or south of your keyboard, and we know where it is. Hey, you don't roll out health care with a computer you want. You roll out health care with the computer system you have.
That's right.
So
with an abacus.
Too bad if people are dying from shoddy armor. It'll be all right.
That's right. Donald Rumsfeld would have rolled out the health care gym with a, you know.
An abacus.
Right, with an abacus and a drink full of bitters and other old man liquors.
And a slide rule.
He would have done it with a Harvey Wallbanger and an abacus.
Yeah, they were blatantly ignoring what the tribal feudalism in Iraq between the Sunnis and the Baathists and blah, blah. And they're like, no, we'll be greeted as liberators. They'll be riding up on horses. And then he said, mission accomplished. I always joked that Obama should have just right away just gotten on an aircraft carrier with a big old health banner behind him and just said, mission accomplished. He hasn't said that. He's like, oh, crap, we screwed up. It didn't roll out. It all comes down to a matter of patience. It's just been just over a month, right?
Six weeks? Yes, that's right.
Just be patient. It doesn't work now. It's got to go now.
Why? Yeah. It's like, why fix all the problems?
It's like playing hide and seek with my daughter, you know? Find me. I can see you. You're right there. This game is no fun. You have to have patience, honey. No, find me now.
It's like standing right in front of you. I don't think you understand the point of this game. It is not a game if you stand right in front of me.
They're so quick to point out just flaws immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he could leave the dentist with no cavities. Oh, but he's got a crown. He has no cavities. Yeah, but he's not brushing right.
Right, exactly.
Oh, Jesus.
December 8th, 1941. We haven't won the war yet. Well, I might as well give up.
Exactly. We were saying a lot of football analogies. By the way, Tomosky says it's time for Obama to go on offense on health care. Because he just said it's good that he apologized once, but enough already. And I agree.
He needs to go on offense. Yeah.
I agree.
Desperately.
Could I have some football music again?
Oh,
bust out my jock jams.
I can do the...
Thank you. Don't do Michael Buffer. We'll get sued.
Okay.
He's very litigious.
I wouldn't want to rumble. I can say the word.
Don't even say rumble. He owns it.
Oh.
Okay.
Get ready to tumble!
See, that's close enough. Now I'm going to get sued. Okay.
But Keith Jackson said fumble today.
Joshua Dubois in the Daily Beast, I was just reading from he just said anyone who counts him out has a... And how many times, Carlos, have we had this storyline? He's over, he's done, he's toast, he's, you know. And this is what he writes, blah, blah, blah. In the summer and fall 2007, almost every smart pundit in the country thought Barack Obama was charbroiled toast. He was too arugula for Iowa. He wasn't black enough to win South Carolina, and his former pastor has surely taken white voters across the country off the table. But Obama would keep calm, tell his staff to chill out and get back to work.
Man.
Remember that poster? Just chill out, mother...
But he is like Blade, and Biden is like Christopherson, man. He gonna come back with some human vampire blood. Come on, Blade. Daywalker. Don't count Blade out.
You are so random. Okay, this is a president and a country who have been counted out more times than we can remember, bounce back in ways we quickly forget. And some of this I'd even forgotten, but he mentions the oil spill of 2010, mm-hmm. another supposed Obama-Katrina moment, one that we almost forgot because of a difficult but effective public-private response, or the bloodbath midterm elections of that year, Scott Brown's surprising win, which supposedly spelled doom for the president's re-election, the 2011 debt ceiling debacle, or the credit downgrade, or the high gas prices in 2012, when Republicans were standing at gas stations, remember that, taunting the president, asking voters to send him back to Illinois. Who had the... Oh, Newt Gingrich had, remember the gas price
yeah.
thing was his prop on stage? Yeah. And don't get me started on the first presidential debate. If you left it up to the talking heads, President Obama should have resigned before he left the stage. The reality is, if we take the long view, we'll see that our country has been on an upward trajectory over the last 5 years, slowly improving economy, steadily progressing education system, advances in immigrant rights and housing and unemployment, and yes, healthcare reform, even if there have been significant challenges. So he says we are in another rough patch. We've had to get this glitchy website fixed. We've got to make sure consumers have clarity about what they can have and how to get them. This is a big, complicated problem, but it's fixable, especially when we have a quarterback who knows how to turn the game around when his back is against the wall.
That's right.
Wait, there's no walls in football. That's all right.
There's no walls in football,
actually,
right?
On the kickoff team, there is a wedge that forms a sort of wall to protect the receiver as he is preparing to return the ball upfield. They call it the wall.
Thank you. Thank you, sports.
All
Elite.
In all, it's just
yeah, people go a little too far in their sports analogies and they topple off a cliff.
Yeah.
There's no wall in football. Maybe he's thinking squash.
I mean, you can slam into a wall in football, but...
Right.
It's like fourth down or 10, and we need a three-pointer to kill the penalty minutes.
Exactly. What? Exactly. Well said, Carlos. 18 minutes after the hour. What now?
What?
All right, 18 Wait. Minutes after the hour. Right back, coffee with Carlos Alzraki on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was a freak like her? It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Every day, living the dream here at the Stephanie Miller Show. What'd I get a pitch for?
You may be killing your liver.
No. Okay. 1-800-STEPH-12. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting with HD Faces. The
Well, I didn't drink the whole bottle of vodka.
Pickling is different than killing. Anyway, GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It is a powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with your team online. Now you can even present from your iPad. Try it free for 30 days, won't you? Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button and enter the promo code Stephanie. Mm. Carlos Alzraki, we are having coffee.
Yes.
I was going to make espresso.
And you are just perusing a Huffington Post article, as you want to do.
As my printer messed up, and I forgot the author, but the real reasons insurers are canceling policies. Why? Insurance companies have been sending similar notices to their customers for years. My son Alex and thousands of other customers of a Blue Cross plan in Pennsylvania got such a notice 4 years ago, months before Congress passed the health reform law.
What?
The insurer wanted to move those policyholders out of a plan with reasonable $500 annual deductible and into one with a deductible 10 times that amount. To accomplish that, Blue Cross notified its policyholders that their health plan would not be available in 2010. Their options were to switch to the high deductible policy, which would still cost them a couple of dollars more each month, or to another plan with that reasonable $500 deductible. If they chose the latter, their monthly premiums would increase 65%.
Are you implying that insurance companies have always been greedy douchebags?
They've always been.
Your options are to go douche.
You know, all Obama has to say is, you know what, I know we've had a slow rollout, but stay the course.
He should say it in George Bush's voice.
Yeah, just go right. look, we want to smoke out these bad plans. We're going to smoke them out. Like, I don't know where the good health care is.
We actually care,
frankly,
if you're dead or alive.
I've given up on it. We're going to stay the course. We're doing a good job.
Yeah, they did say you don't have
these simplistic platitudes like peanut butter sandwiches.
They did call it a tech surge. We're in a tech surge to fix the website.
Tech Ritter surge.
No, that's good.
Right. What? Pardon me, I'm busy pickling my liver over here. I apologize. Yeah, but speaking of apologies, Carlos, you were saying it, and I was saying my future husband, Michael Tomosky, he writes the same thing. He said the public needs, it's time for him to go on offense. And I think it is, you know, I think he really does care. So I think the apology was sincere. This is scary for some people. But, you know, what do you call it? Tomosky says the apology was nice, but the public needs daily updates and vivid examples to break through the media manufactured panic. And that's, I keep talking about the crisis, Chiron, that they are only covering, you know, whatever they think are bad news. I try to limit myself to no more than 4 sports analogies a year, just to keep the clubby male pundit thing to a minimum. He's so cute. He said, but right now in the Obamacare Bowl, it's like one of those points early in a football game where the other team has scored 3 quick touchdowns via some unusual circumstances, the old block punt and such.
Yeah.
So boom, it's 21-0, but it's still the first quarter, say 3:32 left in the first quarter. That's where we are.
Well, it's like when the offside trap fails because one of the defenders wasn't in on it.
Right.
It's embarrassing.
Exactly.
It is embarrassing. But, hey, the 49ers came back to beat the Falcons last year and were down by 28 points. So it is possible.
Right. Yeah. You set a screen or a pick, and then, the other guy doesn't take it. What? Okay, that's basketball. My point is...
It's like in Tiddlywinks when you're on the fourth...
Right.
No.
It's like in Scrabble when you've got 7 letters and you're down and you get a bingo. And in one word, in one fell swoop.
It's a bingo.
Yeah.
Exactly.
A river card.
Yeah, but this actually, sports analogy is good. He said politicians might panic. What winning football teams just buckle down, slowly take control, like you just said, and above all else, fight. And that's what the White House needs to do starting right now. Not to save its own political neck, but for the millions of people, the Affordable Care Act will help. And that's, you know, why they did it in the first place. And that's what I keep saying, these panicky Democrats, you
Real
know.
Real change takes time.
That's right.
You can't snap your fingers.
They're panicky Democrats?
Yeah. Here's another thing that was so blatantly obvious about this peanut butter sandwich analogy. He said Obama comes riding up on a horse. Never mind the thousands of people in Massachusetts who are walking around getting their peanut butter sandwiches stolen by Romney on a horse with a gun. Why didn't he mention Romney?
Peanut butter horce elevator.
I only have one question on that analogy. What is that accent?
He's from Indian. Richard Parker. I'm not trying to make fun of him. That's how he spoke. I'm trying to replicate what I saw in the thing. I'm not trying to... More
of
7-Eleven, I want to sell you a Slurpee. I'm just doing the accent that I saw on the computer. I'm trying to recreate it.
Thank you.
Let that be
known. I
didn't
want to ask before. I was like, why are you doing that weird... Yeah.
Because that's the way the guy spoke.
Oh, okay. About the president on the horse with a gun and your sandwich. Taking your sandwich.
I just want to recreate that in case anybody's seen that crap on their Facebooks.
Well, thank God Chris did not put offensive music under that to further...
I drink your milkshake.
What if Richard Parker is going to steal your sandwich? I didn't say that.
What?
I did not say that. Oh, come on, man. Hey, Prudence, can you come out and play?
Okay. Which key do I press here, Jim, when I'm trying to reboot?
Press any key.
Okay.
Do not look for a key that says any on it. I'm saying any key that you see on your keyboard. You press that and you will get what you want.
Caps lock?
Not caps lock. Do not touch the caps lock.
Can you help me out logging onto Obamacare?
Actually, can I say most tech support people have been very incredibly patient because I am a techno moron and I become a total bitch.
All right, let's
believe
go
me.
Over this again.
And I don't know.
Believe
what is
me, I know this.
That last guy I talked to was very calm.
Let me explain it to you one more time.
Oh, white people. First the
British. And I'm sure he wanted to, you know, punch me, but he did not. He was very calm.
Good.
And apparently, as it turns out, Jim, there is not a key that says any on it.
He wanted to pale in you. We can just summarize that. I'm going to pale in you. And you know what that means.
You know what that means now.
It's double trouble when they're both here.
Yeah.
29 minutes after the hour. Really, right?
Double income.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I am an A-list celebrity, and I will prove it to you. Hey, you. Who am I?
4 vodka martinis, no olives.
Whoa.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, in the midst of the Coffee with Carlos Alzaraki, comedian extraordinaire. Yeah. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. So we've been talking about Affordable Care Act all morning, and I'm glad to hear you say the same thing, Carlos, because this is my favorite thing in Tomosky's piece. He said Democrats are great at running for the hills when the Sunday hosts and Politico and the other arbiters of conventional women create an atmosphere of panic. And that's all they do.
What, a 39 in the House voted for the Upton bill or whatever?
Right.
Ezra Klein said something very funny, interesting on Bill Maher. He said basically vaguely that one of the provisions of the Upton bill was that insurers could sell plans that undermine the Affordable Care Act qualifications, and it was not attractive to many Democratic. Representatives.
Yeah. But, he made an analogy, too. He said the president should be like a mayor during, a snowstorm or something. You know, at this point, the citizens need to know stuff. They need to feel like someone's in charge because it's just, I don't know how else you contradict this constant, what's the word? It's sort of an appearance of panic that the media seems so invested on creating. He writes, he said, this is a crisis. It's not a catastrophe. There's a difference. You know, I mean, a lot of it is a media-created crisis, I think.
Yeah, it makes money. It makes money for the viewers to tune in to know what horrible thing has happened next. What will kill us in 4 weeks?
Yeah. And he says that right-wingers are chortling way too soon. Does it sound so impossible by mid-January, say, the website's working, people's getting cancellation notices, understand that cancellation is not, in fact, the end of the world. It just means that Plan A is no longer available. Plans B, C, and D are available. All they have to do is go online. They'll find the one that's either better or a mixed bag, but it's acceptable. And I think that's what's going to happen, and then they'll pretend like this never happened again, you know?
It's a matter of patience over panic. The things are not perfect. And the parameters they force you into is that Obama is your savior. No, he's not my savior. I'm not saying everything he does is wonderful. I'm not saying the rollout was perfect. I'm not saying his decisions to evolve on gay marriage were to my liking. But he's not this demon that you make him out to be. And now you're forcing me to like him more. You're pissing me off.
Right. Yeah, exactly. By the way, which I think Liz Cheney is inadvertently creating more sympathy for gay people by being a bitch to her sister. I think anybody can understand that, right?
But what her sister's trying to say is, sweetie, you have no facts.
Sweetie.
I don't think they've ever called each other sweetie.
There has not been a term of endearment uttered in that family
I don't think it's
in
very,
ever.
It's very ab-fabby.
Liz, you. Beep, burp, burp, you.
In my house.
But I think she's like, you have no facts. You don't know. You literally, factually, do not know what you're talking about. Factually. I feel like Gene Wilder. You literally, factually, do not know what you're talking about. Please give me facts, Mama.
Wow, we need to get that drop for our troll callers. I'd forgotten about that.
Does he use... Is that a real G
model? No, I just made it up.
Yeah.
All right. Well, just keep that recording of Carlos doing that. We'll use...
You thought that was real?
I did. He's... Yeah. Well, his impressions are... You know, he and Jim are like...
Spot on, yeah.
You are.
Bitches. Affordable Care Act is here. Get used to it, bitches. Patience. Takes time to make 99.1% pure, affordable health care. It's Dwight. He's working on it.
So we were saying one of the political victims of this whole thing could be Mitch McConnell in Kentucky, who is in turtle trouble.
Where the rollout is going well.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And he's running against it, basically.
I'm very upset about it running well.
Speaking of political desperation, like Demon Seed Liz Cheney's. Mm-hmm. Did you see this? GOP tweets altered image of his opponent, Alison Lundgren Grimes, as the Obama girl. Remember that?
I got a crush on Obama.
Right.
That.
Right. The National Republican Senatorial Committee took disciplinary action against a junior staffer who tweeted an extremely offensive photoshopped image of Democrat Alison Lundgren Grimes. Her face is superimposed on the body of Obama girl, who's the
busty.
Right. Mm. Wearing a snug fitting Obama. Excuse me, Jim, T-shirt and her midriff showing. Mm-hmm. In a statement, Grimes condemned the tweet as sexist. McConnell's office accused Grimes of trying to use the incident to distract from the real news that she attended a fundraiser with Michelle Obama in New York on Monday.
Aha! Accused! But that's what politicians do.
Which is bad because...
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow. Wow. That's all they got? It's just a sexist little Photoshop thing. Okay. All right. Would you like the fun facts on the Republicans' many excuses for inaction on immigration reform currently?
Sure.
Of course, I saved this story to talk to the Latino about.
Okay. ¿Qué dice?
No sé.
¿De qué estás hablando?
No sé.
Por favor.
Okay, here are the reasons they are stating now for not doing anything about Obamacare.
Razón because, número uno.
Right? Number one.
Obamacare because immigration.
What?
You know.
Right? Because.
Inmigración.
Majority Leader Eric Cantor came back and said he said the Senate immigration legislation was too long and too partisan and could lead to a train wreck like Obamacare.
Too partisan.
Yeah, everything's going to be compared to back.
Is that all they got? Too many pages? There's too many words.
Really bitchy train wreck.
Yes. Oh, and he also said the track record of this administration and the majority in the Senate is an unwillingness to sit down and talk. Because, you know, they've never reached out anyway. Number two, the president can't be trusted. That's why they can't do immigration reform. Steve, the stunning Steve King, Republican of Iowa, said it's like having... Oh, he had the cantaloupe calves. You know, the illegal immigrants with cantaloupe calves. That guy. It's like having a teen... Does this sound a little condescending to the president of the United States? He said it's like having a teenager... that wants the keys to the car after he's already wrecked the other one, maybe handing him a new credit card and saying, you know, I know you promised you'd mow the lawn and carry out the garbage. Here's the keys to the car. You have to do it the other way. Say, mow the lawn, do your chores, and then come back and talk to me. We'll discuss whether you get the keys to the car.
How dare he try to multitask?
Not too condescending.
He's juggling
to the
five balls. He dropped one. Yeah, but he's juggling five balls.
Oh, I love this one. The government shutdown showed the Senate can't negotiate. Representative Raul Labrador, who is not a dog but a congressman, a Republican congressman of Idaho, said the debate showed the Democrats can't negotiate in good... Even though it was the House Republicans that shut the government down. Okay. And I love this one. Number six, dealing with the conflict in Syria would take up too much time. Oh, except that that's all pretty much resolved now without firing a shot. And now the excuse is there's no time left this year to do it. They're out of time.
No, Black Friday. Got to be there.
Boehner insisted at a press conference they weren't moving slowly to put more attention on Obamacare. They just want to do it right, immigration reform.
But by doing it right, they're doing nothing?
Right, right. Okay. Right, that's what they do. That's their bag, baby.
We do nothing right.
Exactly.
We can just stall it to after November 2014.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they're trying to do.
We'll be all right.
Wow, did you see a student was shot and killed at Jerry Falwell's Liberty
University? Yeah.
Somebody was shot and killed by a gun in the United States?
Yes, Carlos,
wait a minute. That never... just happened again.
It just happened again.
Hold on, it's happening again.
An emergency services officer was attacked by a male student in the lobby of a women's-only dorm. Early in the morning, the student was shot and killed by the officer. Despite the rash of incidents, by the way, including shootings on college campuses in recent years, most notably at nearby Virginia Tech, Liberty University's Board of Trustees amended the school's firearms policy just 8 months ago by removing the campus-wide ban on guns.
Wow.
Opting instead to join the short list of colleges that allow students to carry a concealed weapon throughout campus.
What could possibly go wrong?
Right?
Ultimate Frisbee and gun range.
Yeah. I don't think they play Ultimate Frisbee at Liberty University.
No,
that's not a little too communist.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, noted Cubanadian, Jim, is that what he is? He's technically Cubanadian.
Ted Cruz.
Eh?
Right. His father's a little racist there.
You think?
A little bit of racism. A white Cuban.
You insult him a little bit.
Rafael Ted Cruz.
Right. Mr. Obama should go back to Kenya.
He called Obama lawless and hint said impeachment.
Said the Harvard elite.
Right. He wouldn't go so far to say as whether or not he'd like to see the House begin impeachment proceedings against Brennan. He said one of the most troubling aspects of the Obama administration is, aside from their radical policies, the way they've implemented it, sadly, has been lawless.
They are radical policies.
I'm not sure how he did not go on to say how they've been lawless. When asked if he considered Obama's lawlessness impeachable, he said, well, that's a question for the House, ultimately. The House, under the Constitution, makes a decision whether to impeach, and then the Senate is charged with trying. So that's a question for the House to assess. He said, any impeachment would have to be tried in the United States Senate, and so my responsibility would be to render, what the hell are you talking about? They've never given any grounds. What grounds?
The Affordable Care Act, which was supported by Justice Roberts in the Supreme Court, is radical and lawless.
Suddenly it's lawless.
I guess we should impeach Justice Roberts?
Yes. On Coffee with Carlos grounds.
That's right.
Exactly. I guess the black guy passes a law, and that's right away lawless.
Yeah, lawless. Yeah. Right. It's black.
Right. Exactly. Okay.
Right. It's only logical, you see.
Yes. All right. 45 minutes after the hour, back with, just the bitter grounds at the end of talking of Carlos Alves Roque on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is a happening spot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I think you're ready for this jelly.
That sounded sexual.
Well,
49 minutes after the
hour.
What
could they mean in this song? I don't think you're ready for this jelly.
No.
I was
being ready, wanting to.
More Nutella.
Would you like some marmalade?
All right.
Instead.
Vegemite. Get some Vegemite. Are you ready for this Vegemite?
Strawberry preserves.
Nah, everybody. Vegemite.
Because the jelly will be stolen from you by a bomb on a horse and a gun to your head.
All right, everybody settle.
A gun made of jelly.
Now is the time of the show when Carlos tells a delightful story
about my daughter Riley.
About his magical little daughter
She's
Riley.
She's 2.5 years old and her favorite doll Penny is black. Because we want her to be colorless. We want her to see people as people. The unfortunate part is that Riley likes to take Penny and throw her on the ground face first and go, "Oh, Penny fell. Poor Penny." Like a
my
sadistic little Buffalo
Tina.
Cody.
Who is George Zimmerman's next girlfriend, Riley!
Yay, Riley! But unfortunately, now we can't go to Gospel Brunch or Roscoe's Chicken and Waffle House with Penny. That's the bad part. Don't you dare throw Penny here. Penny on the ground.
Sexy little Penny Carlos Sells Rocky's daughter is a future teabagger.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Oh, boy.
Oh, dear.
Penny likes to wear the Confederate flag.
No, no, no.
No.
It's a Malcolm X flag with stars on it.
No.
Oh, what was that little white supremacist singing duo, the two little girls?
The
remember
blue,
them? Prussian blue.
Yes.
Prussian blue.
Yes.
Right. Oh, I remember them.
Yeah.
We'll be coming around the mountain when he comes on a horse to steal your peanut butter sandwich. He'll be coming around the mountain when he comes.
You know, he started with a confusing story about the horse and the sandwich, and now we cannot get away from it.
We can come right back to it.
That same story. Again and again and again. It's like being reincarnated.
It's like ESPN 24 hours a day.
Don't you hate it when a naked guy in high heels and a turban gets arrested in Georgia? I do.
I hate it. What's that? Saxy?
Pardon me?
Saxy Chambliss?
That'd be funny. Yeah. That'd be funny.
Don't be a Saxy Chambliss.
Richmond County Sheriff's officials say a man who was wearing only high heels and a turban when police confronted him has been charged with several drug-related offenses and public indecency.
Yeah, you blend.
That is indecent. Everybody knows high heels don't go with a turban. You need flats. That's ridiculous.
Tell that to Joan Crawford.
Fashion police, hello. Joan Crawford. Oh, that's true. She did frequently wear high heels.
High heels and a turban. Absolutely.
That's right.
That's right.
You thought.
Why
Joan Crawford?
Oh, God. Really? Do you know? You've already done your
line. I know. I've already done my impression for today.
All right. This ain't your first time at the Joan Crawford rodeo, my friends. Okay. Ricky Martin, I swear to God, I'm not doing all stories about Hispanics. Ricky Martin.
¿Qué dice?
No sé. No comprendo nada.
You'll know it's bad when we get the TV show again. I make Carlos wear a sombrero.
Yeah.
Ay, sábado gigante. Ay, la policía.
Es fantástico.
Or a bumblebee outfit with being painted on.
Ay, qué calor afuera.
Qué golazo.
Oh, no me digas, oh. Stephanie. Ay, ay, ay. My burro is sick. Now I can't get on the Affordable Health Care website. What is going to happen?
People are going to be like, hey, when did the Frito Bandito become a MOOC?
Pero I am from Argentina. Che.
Okay. Amarilla.
Amarilla.
The living La Vida Loca singer claims he was initially terrified at how his peers would react to him coming out. Mm-hmm. But now he claims it was so liberating he wishes he could do it again.
Well, you can renew your wedding vows. Why not renew your coming out vows?
I am still gay, and General Francisco Franco is still
Franciscimo?
There. Right. Francisco?
Generalissimo Francisco Franco.
Right. You were born again!
More fabulous. I was born again, more fabulous.
He said it wasn't easy, but wow, I wish I could come out again because I felt like I could high-five God.
He could do it in another country where they don't know who he is.
God.
True.
That's true. That's true.
Amazon people.
All right, I'm not sure that this was such a good idea. They gave Larry King a surprise 80th birthday party.
Uh-oh.
Oof. Oh, dear. An 80-year-old with a history of heart, I don't think it's good. We gave my mom a surprise 80th birthday party about 10 years ago, and my brother-in-law's a doctor, and I did while we were waiting in the dark. I was like, could this technically, is this medically speaking a good idea? He's like, well, not really.
Let's blow the paper bag and pop it.
That's exactly. She's fine.
Okay,
she's fine? Yes. She's 90 now. Okay. Larry King's wife pulled a risky move Friday night, throwing a surprise birthday party for her 80-year-old husband.
What's
he's
his
fine.
Life insurance like?
He's fine. She, you know, she rented out Dodger Stadium, as you do.
As you do.
Oh, as you do.
Take that, Kanye. Bam. Hello.
Dodger Stadium, hello.
Oh, my God, I love this story on Jezebel. Barbara Walters pisses off everyone during Hunger Games screening.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
This reminds me of the story. Remember when Lee Daniels did a private screening of The Butler for George and Barbara Bush?
Yeah.
And through the whole thing, George kept being like, is that Oprah, honey? Honey, is that Oprah?
Oh, boy.
Oh, old people watching movies. Barbara Walters attended the screening of The Hunger Games Catching Fire, and she pissed off the rest of the audience because she kept screaming questions at the four assistants she brought, repeatedly asking, who's that? What's going on?
Oh.
Why are the children being killed? What's a cornucopia?
Every time someone came on screen, she'd say out loud, who's that? Then the assistant would fill her in. She even asked, is that Jennifer Lawrence?
Which one's Wu?
She was described by other audience members as rude and entitled. And relied on her four assistants to wipe off her glasses and walk her through the plot.
Oh,
she couldn't understand any of the plot twists and would ask, what's going on? Every 5 seconds.
Oh, no.
It was crazy. Even when characters reappeared on screen after having showed up 20 minutes earlier, she'd be like, who's that?
It's kind of like a violent Truman Show.
I have I believe that story because I have a friend that worked with her on The View, and when she went to interview, they went out to lunch, and Barbara ordered a chopped salad, and when it came out, she said, I said chopped! This is not chopped! Chopped on chop!
Oh, no.
And my friend's eyes.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
That was not
she
it.
She didn't
go
ancient Chinese secret, huh?
No.
Wow.
No, she did not. She did not.
She's used to getting what she wants.
Apparently. Mm-hmm. Chopped? You better...
Better chop,
chop
it.
That.
Don't slice it. Don't dice it.
Chop
let's say my first time at the chopped salad rodeo.
Did you see the, South Dakota farmers and ranchers upset by the selection of Joan Jett?
Yeah.
Who is a vegetarian and animal rights advocate to perform on the state's float in the annual Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade.
Doesn't seem like that was thought out too well.
No.
Well, right, because they're big cattle.
Cattle.
Right.
And she's not.
Yeah, but she's a singer. Who cares what she eats? Right?
Or?
She's there to sing.
I mean, does she have any ties to South Dakota?
I don't. Well, who cares?
Well, I mean, why Joan Jett on South Dakota's float?
I don't know.
You know who else was a vegetarian?
Hitler.
I mean, put Mary Hart up there. She's from South Dakota.
Listen, I love rock and roll. I don't, you know.
It's Charlie Daniels at the Million Man March.
CarlosAlazRocky.com.
Oh, yeah, CarlosAlazRocky.com. If you're in Kansas City, Kansas, December 6th and 7th, I will be at Stanford's Comedy Club. I think Stanford's in the Legends Mall.
We love you, Carlos. That's Rocky. We will see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.